Welcome to episode 269 of Fly Away. We're a group of agents from Outlander Travel who get together every week to talk about all things travel. Whether you've been listening for a while or just tuning in, we're happy you found us. We truly believe that travel has the power to change the world, and we want to inspire others to come along with us. We chat about destinations, current events, our favorite experiences, and lots more. We love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics, so be sure to connect with us on our website, Facebook, or Twitter. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Lindsay, George, Donna, and Sandy. Tell me that you've thought about it. You see your travel agent friends jetting off to exotic locations and experiencing what this great big world has to offer, and you say to yourself, I could do that. Yes, our jobs have some great benefits, but there's a lot more going on behind the scenes, and it can be extremely stressful. This week, we are talking about the good parts and the bad parts out of our chosen career. So let's get started.
Ooh.
Well, obviously, the good part is travel. That's why we do this.
Yes.
Well, yep. And that's what everybody sees. That's what, you know, everybody
But do you guys there. Travel for free?
No.
No.
Even if we kind of travel for free, we still have to get there. So the airfare is never free.
And in a lot of cases, you have to really earn opportunities.
Correct.
Even discounted opportunities. I think that's the biggest misconception is that everyone, oh my gosh, it must be nice to go everywhere for free. No.
Yeah, all you have to do is blog about it and post about it on Facebook and Instagram.
And make sure you disclose that it was a discounted trip or... Because otherwise you can get in some serious trouble.
Well, and this is episode 269. And so far, I have not been offered any free travel for any of us new to the podcast.
Just putting that out there.
Put that out there. 269 episodes every week. One, nothing. So...
You people see the travel, and then we make it look so easy while we're traveling. I mean, you guys will see if you post. I know I'm guilty of doing this. You post the picture of the drink by the pool, but the reality, the behind the scenes of that picture is that you might have been in classes all day, or that might be 5 minutes, and then you're rushing, or you don't see that you're wearing business casual clothes, and you're on your way to another indoor session, walking by the beach.
Or you might not even be able to drink that drink. You just took a picture with
me. And it's
200 degrees outside.
Yeah. And it's 200 degrees out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The quintessential example of that is when we had our conference on the Harmony of the Seas, and we were on a week-long cruise, and I brought a friend, who wasn't a travel agent, and she couldn't believe how busy we were the whole time. I mean, every day we were at sea, we were in classes from 7 a.m. to like 5 p.m. and then dinners that night.
And we had dinners every night.
Yeah, dinners and cocktail parties. So you had to rush. And I think I went through like 20 outfits that week.
I had
four suitcases because I had trips afterwards.
Yeah.
But then, so you mentioned cocktail parties. So that sounds fun too, right? But what are those cocktail parties for?
Well, those cocktail parties are to give us the opportunity to get FaceTime with suppliers so they know who we are. So when our clients have issues, they will take our phone calls.
Yeah. And they'll remember that they like us because there was booze.
And there was booze involved. So they'll remember that they like us. They want. Yeah. No, it's to build those relationships that make this job.
And you can't get like falling down drunk at those because that's what they'll remember.
No, exactly.
You'll be like, oh, that one. Yeah, I'm not answering that call.
Just because it's an open bar doesn't mean you're open barring.
And not everything is open bar. I think that's important too.
It's not
a booze fest. And but it is, I mean, I think that's one of my favorite things about this job outside of the travel is getting to know the industry and the people in it because it is. No matter how stressful, no matter how late the nights, no matter how far behind I get, it's such a fun industry. I feel really lucky to be here.
It's so social and it's so, and I know like the conferences and the trainings that we do are just highly intense because you're doing all these things. And then you're also doing work for your clients while you're traveling as well. And that's something else that people don't see is that when we get done, we're going back to our room and we're still.
Or sitting at the pool, but we got our laptops out and we're sitting there working.
You're still working, but it's very rewarding. I think that part of it, the social and the learning and constantly be learning something new is one of the
biggest. Because I think that too, when you think about the great, big, beautiful world we have and how many people sell it in how many different ways, how many different ways can you go to Japan? Which sounds like a silly question, but when you start thinking about it, there's a lot. And then it's up to us to know well, you will probably like this way to go to Japan, and you will probably like this way to go to Japan. And I don't like either of those ways personally. I like this third way. So it's sort of that, you know, you have to learn things that you aren't necessarily as interested in, or, you know, I do need to know something about camping.
Yeah.
Other than I don't.
Or like, it. You know, you think about all-inclusives in the Caribbean. I mean, how often are those resorts under refurbishment, because they're constantly refreshing and upping their game and changing things or changing ownership? I mean, you can't just go to Cancun in 2015 and by 2017 think that you still know.
Yep.
And you can't see all the resorts either. You got to constantly be going back,
because they're constantly changing. So on this list is giveaways. So we have a couple people that have been lucky enough.
I won a trip to a Charisma resort for 3 nights, but I couldn't use it.
But you couldn't use it one time. I went on a cruise on Carnival, but I had to pay like the taxes and gratuities. But I, you know.
And you had to get there to where the port was.
I had to fly there. I had to pay for my excursions. I had to pay for my drinks, you know, stuff like that. But I was on the ship, so yay.
And one of our fellow agents who's not here with us, didn't Amy win Dubai tickets and couldn't use them?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know, there are those opportunities at our annual conference. Mm-hmm. And it's depending on.
Well, and some of them I've used. Like I won 2 first class tickets to Europe on Delta. I totally used those bad boys. I used the heck out of those bad boys. In fact, I even chose my destination based on how far away it was.
I think I won a $50 gift card from a supplier 1 year, and I used that toward Christmas presents. Mm-hmm. So.
I've won one of those once.
Oh, you'll win more.
One day. Oh, actually, no, I did win a 2-day cruise on Princess.
That's right. You did. That was pretty early on too.
Yes.
You were fairly new.
And that included all the fees and everything, because it was kind of an inaugural trip. So that included everything.
I won a GoPro, but I won that through sales. I had to earn it. And then also I won a Alexa, the Echo Dot. I won one of those. So now it controls all my office lights. Pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
But those were both sales based. Yeah.
Those are all like, just, we're mentioning that it's all like, it's nice perks, but they're not guaranteed perks, right. And they're few and far between. I mean, this isn't something that.
Right.
And the fact happens. Is lots of sales jobs have them. I mean, I'm actually about to go on a President Circle trip, which is a sales reward. I know other people who go on sales reward trips all the time. Amy with 2 E's in our agency, her husband is in sales and they go on reward trips as well. So that's not unique to the travel industry. That's a very common, you know, incentive trips are very, very common. In fact, we like to book those for you. So if you're a company, give us a call.
Most multi-level marketing have a annual trip as well.
Almost everything that's sales related has one. Almost everything.
So probably one of the biggest rewards in this industry is getting to be part of someone's bucket list adventure, or helping a family have their achieve their vacation dreams, and getting to see the happiness that brings to them. And I know that's probably true for all of us on multi-levels of enjoyment and living vicariously through the travels of others.
Yes, but also no news is good news.
Yeah.
When they don't call because nothing went wrong, that's really good.
Yeah.
I love seeing the pictures. I love when they go up on Facebook and they're posting about what a great time they're having, and their kids are so happy, or it's a couple and they're so happy. And that's probably the best reward that I get out of this, because then all that stress or anything that you had to do behind the scenes that they never even knew about, the 6 times the airline detached their seats selection and you had to go back in and redo it, and all those things, all the fires you put out that people don't see behind the scenes, are totally worth it when you have that end result.
It is the secret sauce. I think that every job has its downside. Every job has its difficulty. But if you're passionate about helping people, it really, and you know, I don't need a thank you. Every now and then I'll get a thank you card. I've gotten postcards from people while they're traveling. I got like 16 different kinds of pickles one time. That's my favorite thank you gift that I got. So I had a client who worked at Mount Olive Pickles, and I got a thank you box full of pickles. I didn't know there was such a thing, but it was wonderful. And I will never forget it, ever, ever, ever.
I got a bowl of farm fresh eggs from somebody's chickens. And on the bottom of the, it was a paper bowl, giant paper bowl full of fresh eggs. It said, "Thank you so much for all your help. We love you," or what. And it was just the sweetest.
Not only were they happy, but their chickens were happy.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I got a fruit basket one time.
I got an edible arrangement one time. I mean, it's been nice, but the real reward, I mean, more than that, I love when people email me pictures.
Yeah. Or like they'll email me while they're on their trip and tell me how awesome it's going.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's awesome.
Exactly.
Or you get that text when they get to their room and they're like, "Oh my God, this room is amazing."
Yeah.
Or, "Oh, this, you know, this cabin is incredible."
Or even thank the shout so out much on Facebook is nice too. It's like, "Hey, thank you to our travel agent, Donna Mae, for arranging this wonderful trip."
Yep.
I love those. I actually screenshot every time one of my clients does that, and I save them in a folder for when there are bad days.
That's a good idea.
Because this job is like a roller coaster. You have your highs and you have your lows, and you're never always going to be at a high. There's always going to be some fire that needs to be put out, or something that's just the nature of this industry. There's always a flight that's been canceled, or a storm that's coming, or
so we should probably talk a little bit about the real, like, you know, everybody comes back from their trip that went really well and they think, this is what I want to do. You know, like, I want to make these trips happen for other people and I'm going to quit my job and start doing this. So logistically, let's be real. Like, what does that mean? What does that look like?
Well, first of all, I would say that you might not be wrong. It might be that you're right for this job. But the first thing to know is you're always going to be working.
Yeah. And you're not going to start this and make money tomorrow.
Nope. Yes.
You have to have a pretty good chunk of money to invest in your business, like any other business that you start. And if you don't have supplemental income, it could be very hard to make it a go. It takes a long, you know, for some people it might take a year or 2 years or 2 months or 10 years. And you just don't know, however long it's going to take you to build your niche and your client base
and
build a successful
business. And when you have clients that travel 9 months from now, you usually don't get paid until 9 months from now.
10 months from now.
Well, 11 months from now, 2 months after they travel. And then let's talk about that, because you get paid, right? But it's not this giant number that everyone, I think, imagines it to be. It's a percentage of a percentage of a percentage.
Yes, you have to split it.
Yep.
Well, it's a sales job. So you I guess it can depend on where you work. I think there are some brick and mortar places that probably do hourly salaries or whatever. But we all here are independent contractors. So, you know.
Commission based.
Yeah, you get paid when you sell. It took me a while to consistently have people traveling every month.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that really, that's the key thing, because people want to, they're like, "I'm going to be a travel agent. How much does it pay?" Huh. It pays whatever you manage to sell.
That's the limit, you know.
The sky and your actual physical capability. And that, you know, I think that's the thing that I always tell people too when they ask me about it is, think about how long it took you to plan your last vacation. Now, I could probably do it a little bit faster because I do it all the time. But in a lot of ways, I'm taking just as much time as you do, you know. I might already have a good starting point. So I already really know the cruise line. So if you've never taken a cruise, I know the cruise lines really well. But I still have to find you a ship and a sail date. I have to find you the right cabin. If you're traveling with 10 of your closest friends, I have to find you 5 cabins, hopefully all close together. That takes time. I mean, it's not like I have a magical formula. You know, people say, "Oh, well, can you just keep an eye on the flights?" No. That's not
what I can travel anytime in these 2 months. Find me the best price in this.
I can travel anytime between December 1st and then November 31st of the following year.
So, there's only 30 days in November.
Well, 30, whatever. You know what I meant. I meant to say January 1st and December 31st.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that most people don't realize is that when you're booking it yourself, the website you're using is probably 10 times better than the back end version that we're using that is always crashing, or things like booking 5 people in a cabin. You think that would be pretty easy? No, most of the websites, you can't even do it. We have to call in and wait on hold to do stuff like that.
We wait on hold so you don't have to.
But we do have access to options that the general public doesn't. That's something I think also that people don't realize. And along with that comes different training. We have to, the more time you invest in your training with the suppliers, the more knowledge that you accrue. And that's why a lot of us invest so much time in doing, doing training and doing conferences or symposiums or things like that, is because we're broadening our base knowledge. And then it makes it easier when you have someone that comes to you and they want to go to a specific destination. If you've either had personal on the ground experience, or if you've studied that in depth, you know the suppliers that are trusted and that are best in that area to go to. And that helps a little bit, but that's part of this constant learning that you get. I truly believe you get what out, what you put into this and what you have the bandwidth to put into this. You know, the sky's the limit, like Elizabeth said, but in reality, I'm pretty conservative about the people that I take on, because I want to be able to commit so much to each one of them. And I just don't feel like I can take more, for some things. So
yep.
It's a lot of time it's just figuring out that work pattern for yourself and that knowledge base.
Yep, exactly. Well, and even, I mean, we all have years of experience, at least 4 years of experience, each person in this virtual room. Is there anyone here who could say that they now know it all and nobody could come to them with a trip tomorrow that they...
Oh, definitely not. Anybody ever tells you, if your travel agent says to you, your travel advisor says to you at your first meeting, I've been everywhere and I know everything, you need to leave.
I don't know any agent that would say that.
Yeah. No agent would say that, but yeah. The day that you think you know everything is a bad day.
Yeah. No, it's more about a comfort level. I feel comfortable selling this location, or I feel very comfortable selling this cruise line.
I have this supplier that I trust, so I will send you to Thailand because I know that they've vetted the hotels and the tour.
That's the key word. What Sandy just said right there is trust, is figuring out which of the companies that you can trust. And
that is a lot of this job, is like figuring out, because, and I have people tell me all the time, well, why don't you just book it this way? Well, I don't book it that way because I'm not sure you're going to end up with a room. Like, I'm going to make sure that you have the room that you want. And
Groupon has 2 weeks in Paris for $200. What?
Why can't you do that?
Yeah. I can't do that because you're going to call me when it sucks. You're not going to call Groupon.
You're going to be sleeping in a bunk bed with a bathroom down the hall.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a client send me like a screenshot of flights, like a price of flights to Alaska for his parents. And he's like, why can't we just do this price? And I was like, well, because that flight leaves at 6 a.m. and they're not going to be off of their cruise till 7 a.m. and then they got to get to the airport. So you can't really book a flight before like 11 a.m. You know, like those first screen things are never what it is.
Yeah. Or when people look at the flight prices online, but they have a party of eight and there aren't eight seats at that price.
Right.
Because once you take that ticket out of the inventory, then it jumps to the next tier of pricing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they think that because they're a group that it'll be cheaper on airlines.
But well, groups normally are more. Because they have to ramp, they have to basically
more than the price you're seeing at that moment. But as soon as you take out the group, the price is going to go up, so your price will be better usually. But people don't want to wait for that. So, but it's never a guarantee. That's the other thing with air. The only thing I can guarantee you with air is there are no guarantees. I mean, the air ticket contract is ridiculous at how little it promises you. You know, and our, you know, that is one of the biggest challenges. I know we're trying to talk about positive things, and this job is very, very positive, but one of the biggest challenges is pricing. People don't want, they think that something should be a certain price. And so in some ways the airlines have responded to that, and that's where we get basic economy. They're like, fine, I'll sell it to you for that price, yeah. But you're not going to get all these other things that people who are paying more, who are actually paying the fuel for the airline are going to get.
Yeah. You know. I think another misconception, you said price, is that people think that travel prices like other goods or like a car, when you go to a car salesman and you can negotiate the price. That's not how travel works. Or like bread, you know what, how much does an Alaska cruise cost? Well, when are you going and how many people? And there's all these other, which cruise line, what type of accommodations would you like? I mean, but all of these factors are important ingredients in the soup of what the cost is. So it's not something you can definitively answer in 2 seconds. And that's probably the number one question you get as a travel agent is how much does X cost off the cuff without knowing anything about the travel party or any details. Yep.
And then there's the unrealistic expectations that come from advertising, because sometimes, yeah. You know, like Groupon, okay, well, they're ditching, you know, large amounts of inventory all at once. So it's deeply discounted, or it's something that nobody wanted, maybe not in that order. And so,
or it's such restrictive travel times.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, you get an advertisement in the mail. It says that a river cruise is half off and it lists a price. Well, that price is actually... like it's not half of off of that price and that's a per person price. So it's actually double that price. So, you know, the price you're seeing is actually the already half off and it's only for one person, not for two. And that always surprises people. They're like, but it says half off. I'm like, yeah. And then they show you the price, which is half off.
Yeah.
And you know, for a cruise that meant for a regular cruise, an ocean cruise, that probably doesn't include taxes and fees.
And that's usually where I get it is people are like, oh, well, I saw this advertisement for Carnival and they said it's only $99 per person per day. It's like, okay, but that doesn't include your fees and your taxes and all those other things.
And yeah. And that's an inside cabin and you might want a window and yeah, but it's that's not to blame our clients, it's really to blame the industry. That's mm-hmm. the stuff that you see it. And they're trying to get you to make that phone call because by the time you've actually called to book it, you're hooked. And so when they tell you it's more, you're like, oh, well, that stinks, but okay. You know,
it's intentionally confusing and sometimes on the web, more often than not, intentionally misleading for some discount sites. We should probably talk about all the fees and costs associated with being a travel agent. I know I'm not the only one here who pays monthly fees for services and things like that we need. I live in Washington State and I have to pay for a seller of travel. There are several states that required if you either reside in the state or if you're going to sell or plan travel for or market to, it's actually marketing to people in that state, you have to have the seller of travel. So let's go.
It's almost like a business license.
Yeah. It is.
It is a business license.
And actually in the state of California, it's a combination of a business license and another certification, a seller of travel. So, and it's just a lot to know. Now, if you do want a steady income, there are still brick and mortar agencies and many of them do hire, an hourly rate or a salary, but don't think that it's going to equate with, you know, a teacher's salary. If I may be so bold, I mean, it is not
more like minimum wage.
It's not a paid profession when, you know, for salary, because it is a sales job. And so for, you know, the only way that agency can bring in revenue is to sell stuff. And so to pay you an hourly fee, they have to have some sort of guarantee of sale. And so it's sort of, you know, mathematically, it's challenging. That said, you know, in the days when a travel agency was the only way you could book travel, sure, we can pay you a salary because people are going to travel and the only way they can do it is to come here. But in this day of choice, and I think it's important as travel agents, I think we all know this. We either learned it the hard way or we know it inherently. Not everyone is our client. You know, there are going to be people who book on Expedia all the time. That's cool. You know, you may be listening to this podcast and you're like, I still don't understand what travel agents do. If you really are having a good time booking your own travel, then you are not the client of a travel agent. Whereas 50 years ago, you would have had to have been a client of a travel agent. You didn't have a choice. So the industry changed and with it came this home-based model.
And also part of that, the good point that you bring up is like seeing the value in it. If you are listening to this and you want to be a travel agent, but you've never used the services of a travel agency, it might behoove you to connect with one of your local agents and use them for your next vacation. Find someone that you click with and maybe shadow them a little bit to see what the ins and outs of this really are.
Because you're going to get that question, oh, travel agents still exist? Why should I book with you when I can book on my own?
Yeah. Yep. And again, that, you know, sometimes the answer is you shouldn't. You should book on your own. If you know what you're doing, if you always go to the same, you know, resort at Myrtle Beach every year and you're happy with that. And that's not to insult Myrtle Beach, by the way. It's just I'm saying that because Sandy's here and we have to talk about Myrtle Beach. But we always want to you know, if you're always doing the same trip, you don't need our advice because you can do it, you know.
Or if you always want to go and see the game in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. I was waiting.
I set waiting that up for you. You're welcome.
Thank you.
But yeah, I mean, that is the sort of thing. And I have had people call me and say, well, we always book this Carnival cruise, but we thought we'd try you. I mean, you can, I'll book it for you. But I don't know if you're already an expert in Carnival and what they offer, and that's all you want to do is go on a Carnival cruise, I think that you should just go ahead and book that yourself.
Now I will say we
book with me, and even though they can do all that, and I really appreciate that they do that.
I appreciate it, but if I'm not going to be able to give you anything additional.
Some of the advantages, though, Elizabeth, is I have a client who books everything pretty much on their own. It did, but she's booking things with me because we have access to Distinctive Voyages.
Yes.
And we do have access to different pricing on group, you know, group rate pricing for different cruises. We might be able to get you perks you wouldn't be able to get yourself. So there's a little value there, but you have to know what you're doing and you have to invest your training in those areas to be able to bring that to people's attention. And really, I mean, it's a service based sales, but it's still a sales job. And I don't know, I speak for myself, but I struggle with sales. I'm not a good upseller. I've never been. So this has been uphill, 8-9 years for me, long time.
I guess like one of the biggest things that I had to learn was not to sell out of my own pocketbook because people will pay for stuff, you know, like they'll pay for convenience, they'll pay for perks, they'll pay for an upgraded room or an upgraded flight, something like that. I mean, you can't put your values on that client. You know, you can just present that to them and then let them decide. But to some people, that's totally worth it.
Yeah.
And the same is going to be true in the other vein of that too, is that I have frequently run into people money's a funny thing. Sometimes getting your client to share their budget and be honest about their budget is a very hard thing. But without that parameter, it's very hard to nail down. And then sometimes if you quote based on their needs and it's way above, they'll disappear, but it's because of the cost and it scared them. Mm-hmm. So I think that's part of it, is you have to be able to read people in a way and make them feel comfortable enough to talk to you and share and be honest. And I think that's something that's not really talked about. At least it wasn't one of the first classes I took. The other thing is, I took a marketing class this past year. I wish I'd taken like 8 years ago. I did.
And all of those classes and things come out of our pocket.
Yeah. That was completely out of my pocket. There was no,
nobody's sending us on these, no magical. Yeah. Yep. So talking to the value thing, I mean, that's a real, it's actually something that transferred over from my library job is understanding that what means something to you doesn't mean something to somebody else. So people have asked me before, well, you know, you went from librarianship into travel, that's such a big different thing. And I'm like, it really isn't, because the core part of my job as a reader services librarian was to find out what people wanted to read. So people would come to me and say, tell me about a good book to read. Well, that is such a, you know, the last book I read was a vampire romance. Are you into that? If you're into historical fiction, we're not on the same. So my job then is to say, well, what do you like to read? What have you read in the past that you read it and you really loved it? And then it's my professional knowledge as a librarian to then match you with other authors and other, even other genres that you might like based on what you've liked in the past. It's the same thing with travel. We get people who come to us and say, I just want to go somewhere warm. Well, there's a lot of warm places out there. And, you know, Costa Rica is very different from Egypt, is very different from the Bahamas. And so you sort of have to then say, okay, well, what do you want to do on your vacation? What have you done in the past? And for some people, Costa Rica is what they're looking for. For other people, Egypt is what they're looking for. And for other people, the Bahamas is what they're looking for. And it all.
And for some of them, it's none of those. And it's Alaska, even though they said warm to begin with.
Exactly. It's like a little treasure hunt every time we start what we used to call in the library world a reference interview, which is basically, you know, finding out what you like. And so it's not only sales and knowing the product, but then it's also figuring out how to match that person with the product, because you can know everything about every single cruise line, and when a person stands in front of you and says, I want to go on a cruise, you have to know what to ask them in order to figure out the matching game of which cruise line would best suit them. And it may be one or two, and then they get to choose, but you have to narrow it down. You can't just throw every cruise line at them every time. You don't have time to do that. And that's way overwhelming for them. You're not providing any service.
Yeah. And if you don't read, and you're not, and honestly, this is not a 100%, you're not going to always read them 100% correctly the first time, because some people will withhold information, not intentionally, but I didn't mention my husband loves golf or hates golf, or it's a golf resort, or you know, or we really don't like the beach, or you know, if something's left out, then you're back to the drawing board. And you're, but it's the better you know your client, the better you are at doing this. And it's just a matter of learning them and earning their trust to learn enough about them to be able to say with certainty when you see something, oh, so-and-so would love this. This is perfect for her. And I love those moments in my own travels when I'm experiencing something and I'm thinking of all the clients I have that would really enjoy this, or that, oh, I have to call somebody because this is right, perfect for them, right up their alley.
Yep. I had a great conversation with a client today where I kind of knew probably what she wanted to do, but she was going in a different direction. And we had this great conversation, and I'm totally willing to go the other direction with her, but we came right back to where I thought we were going to end up, you know? So it's sort of rewarding as a travel agent to be able to say, I thought so. I had you pegged. You were trying to steer me in a different direction, but I had you pegged. So I think too, one thing that you have to know about this job is, that there are negatives, and it's very easy in such a positive industry where you're doing such fun things for people, that when things go wrong, people get really, really upset. So you have to have an even head. You also have to be very organized. You can't lose track of payments. You can't forget final payments. You can't forget what you booked for that person. You have to be very, very, very organized, because it's very easy for a trip to fall apart. People screw up their own trips all the time. I screw up my own trips all the time because I'm a terrible travel agent to myself, because I don't treat myself the same way that I treat my clients. And you guys, you laugh, Sandy, but I think you're kind of the same way. We all.
Yeah. I'm exactly the same way.
I've had people like look at their stuff and like, wait a minute, we're leaving Universal on this day, but we don't check into Disney until like 2 days later. They're like, we're homeless one night. I'm like, that's not a problem.
Mine's always external forces that are against me.
Like, whoops.
Yeah. And actually it got to a point where my husband was like, I am your client. Don't think of me as your husband. Think of me as your client and make this better. And I have gotten better, but I'm still tempted to hire one of you guys to be my travel agent. I feel like,
I think we should just do buddy system where like we
look over the itinerary.
Yeah.
Book each other's travel.
And my biggest thing too is like when I did that big, like the 40-day thing, I didn't have a file for myself. I mean, I had like, but I didn't have like a Travify itinerary for myself like I should have, like I would have done for a client.
Yeah. Well, and even traveling, I mean, I was with Sandy going to the Norwegian Encore, and I almost got on the wrong flight. Gates are right next to each other, and I was in the boarding line, and I was like, where's Sandy?
You know, I'm like, why is she lining up already?
She booked my pass, and it gave an error message. She's like, you're on that flight over there. I was like,
I didn't know you had already scanned your pass.
Oh, I scanned my pass. I was ready to get on that plane.
Going to Buffalo.
I'm actually going to I would have ended up in the right place eventually, but
even with simple trips like going into Florida to Disney that I've done a million times, and but I've been so busy I haven't had a chance to do anything for my own. I can't tell you how many times I've been not showed up with no Magical Express book for myself, having to do it at the counter, or not even had a hotel booked for that night because I wasn't supposed to check into my Disney hotel like a day or two later, and I'm at the airport booking my hotel.
But we don't make those mistakes for our clients because we read that stuff 80 million times. And that is, I mean, I think there are times where clients call me and I'm like, I have three people going to Germany right now and I'm going to have to look at this to know which one you are, because I spend so much time in it, but then I go to the next thing. And so it is, it's a very busy job too. There's a lot of different things to do. If you like lots of different things to do, it's great, but you do have to be able to focus and really schedule your time, I think, because, you know, I now have 6 planners.
but even though you schedule your time and you work certain hours, that means when they're traveling, you're still on call. Yeah. So if they call you in the middle of the night and say, hey, my transfer didn't show up, then you wake up, you get up, and you start making phone calls.
And I will tell you, not once have I had a client with a travel emergency that happened between the hours of 9 a.m. and 5 p.m.
Yep.
Not once. Or even during the week. Most of the time it's on the weekend when everything is closed and you have to pull a miracle out of your butt and you have to figure something out on the fly. It's just the way it goes. Yeah. Things happen when it's the
yeah. I had one New Year's Eve that happened.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily have to work 24 hours a day, but you sort of have to be thinking about work 24 hours a day.
I mean, I've stepped out of movies. I've stepped out of meals with, I'm sure we all have. Everybody here has probably stepped out of at least a few meals with their family.
Yeah. You were so busy working one meal that we all thought Donna was dead and you were the only one who knew where she was. You remember that? You were so busy working. And we're all wondering, where is Donna?
That's not what we thought she missed.
Lindsay looks up and goes, oh no, she's fine. She's in her room.
she's fine. Yeah, I'm so sorry. I had an ear infection. I was but you do. You really, you get sucked into this and it's so invested. And it's very, it's a very hard for me personally in this to draw the, to have the work home life separation as a home-based agent. Because I'm constantly drawn back into something.
Yeah. Well, we're very.
Well, one of the things is also, you know, we're sitting there and they know these things happen and it's not our fault. But as long as we're making that effort to make sure it goes right, that really cements a very good relationship with between travel agent and clients.
And you will see people at their best in this job and at their worst in this job, because when people are stressed out or worried about something, the worst can come out. I've had, you know, the full range of emotions from for things that were beyond my control and their control. So knowing how to deal with people when they're at every stage of that level of the highs and the lows, and really being able to bring them back to what, you know, to a good place is beneficial too.
So I'm hearing all this and in my head, I'm like, I imagine if I'm listening to this podcast right now, I'm thinking, but I get to work from home in my pajamas, so it's all okay. So let's talk about that for a minute, shall we? I mean, we're really lucky that we have a team approach, but not all agencies are like that. Some people work completely by themselves, isolated, but also, is it really that great to work from home?
No.
No, it gets lonely.
It gets lonely and it's hard to balance things.
Yeah, I think
because you're like, oh, well, you know, I can throw that laundry in, you know, or I can do that load of dishes.
It's keeping focused because I get pulled in a lot of different directions at once. So if I was in an office, I'd be just doing my work. But yeah, it's like Donna said, I'm doing laundry or the kids want to get driven somewhere or, you know, there's a million reasons to stop what you're doing.
I've actually taken out office space and people say to me a lot, they're like, but you have the dream. You can work from home. Why would you take out office space? And I do work from home. I'm working from home tomorrow. One, two, maybe in a crazy week, 3 days, I work from home. But I love going into the office. It's quiet. My kids don't touch anything there. Nothing moves mysteriously from one day to the next. Everything is exactly where I left it. It's all my space and it's quiet. I can listen to music if I want to. I don't have to listen to music. The dog never barks. You know, there's all those, and I love the dog and I do, when I work from home, I do enjoy it. And I usually do work in my pajamas because I can. So I enjoy that, but I wouldn't say that that is the best reason to take a job ever. You know, working from home is not necessarily, it does have its advantages.
And
working in an office has an advantage too. People sometimes bring you donuts when you work in an office. Just saying.
You are much more likely to work more with you when you work from home, at least in my experience. Someone posted a meme on Facebook and it's perfect. Yeah, work from home, they said. You get to choose which 16 hours of the day that you work.
Yes.
And it's so true because I will get out of bed in the middle of the night because I'm thinking about something that needs to get done. And I know I could wait till the morning, but then I'm like, no, it has to get done right now. And I'll be in the office mm-hmm. Printing something or doing something for a client, and it just doesn't turn off.
Yeah, and then you email somebody at 2 o'clock in the morning, and they think now that they can email you at 2 o'clock in the morning whatever they want to.
Yeah, well, I have clients that thought they could do that before.
or you wake up at the crack of dawn to get on the phone with Disney.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's the other thing, the elephant in the room, the amount of our lives we waste on hold time. Yeah. I think if we had started clocking them when you first became a travel agent, how many thousands of hours do you think we'd all have in calculated hold times?
Had somebody say to me, well, I called and they said that the hold time was an hour, and I just couldn't believe that. I'm like, oh, honey, that's awesome.
Hours. That's great. I mean, and I'm to the point now where I'm comfortable enough that I'll be on hold on two different phones with two different companies at the same time, because I know one of them is probably going to be 3 hours and one's going to be like an hour. And
mm-hmm. And learning how to multitask without really multitasking. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think, and I honestly, in the end, it sort of balances out to be like any other job. I think the reason that it becomes an amazing job is because it's something that we're all passionate about. And if you are really passionate about it, it is such a rewarding job. But it definitely, just like there is no job out there. You know, movie stars will complain about, you know, some of the conditions that they work in. There's no job that is perfect 100% of the time.
Well, I really want to find out more about Samantha Brown's job, because I think it's got to be pretty close. That's why when anyone says to me, oh, you have the perfect job, you get to travel, you get paid to travel. No, I don't. That's Samantha Brown and Rick Steves.
Yeah.
The only two people.
Yeah, but I would love to be a location scout for her.
Yeah,
I would too. I would love to be anything on her team. So Mrs. Brown, if you are listening.
Yeah. But you know, I bet she has bad moments too. I bet there are parts of the
world
that are just terrible, you know? So yeah, I think just like anything, you just have to be ready for that. And that, whenever anybody asks me about it, the first thing I do is talk to them about all the bad stuff, because I think the good stuff is obvious, you know, but mm-hmm. let's talk about what really is happening behind the scenes, that you are on hold for. Are you really on hold for 3 hours? Yes. And have you really been on hold for 10 hours? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I have. And I'm not bragging mm-hmm. about it. It was a horrible, horrible moment. And you do not realize how crazy you can go just being on hold.
Oh, or when you're on hold for 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 hours and they hang up on you and you have to call back over and over again. And it's a frequent thing that happens. And then being able to maintain your composure, because you have to be nice because it's customer service. And a lot of times the things we're negotiating for our clients depend on our attitude and our ability to make things happen for them. So to be able to run that range of emotions where you just want to scream into the air in the backyard and then step back in the house for a minute before you're, hi, thank you so much. I know you guys are busy. Can you please help me with this?
I know you're on vacation, but yeah. Well, that is our show for this week. Thank you for hanging out with us. We would love for you to share your life-changing travel moments with us on our Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook as Flyaway or from the podcast page on outlandertravel.com. Please be sure to subscribe to us and leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. On behalf of George, Sandy, Donna, Lindsay, and myself, Elizabeth, we'd love to say Happy New Year, and thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.